Think about a flawless chronology again, and a firm order. Hey, welcome as we look into the life and message of Elizabeth Elliot once again. She called us to live to a higher standard, calling us to not be satisfied with just a little empty religion in life. Our series will continue in the coming weeks as we hear from family, friends, and others influenced by the life and message of Elizabeth Elliot. And a special hello if you've never joined us before. It's good to have you along. Typically, what we have for you are two Gateway to Joy programs. Right now, we're in the midst of a 10-part series on flawless chronology. So we think about parts 5 and 6. Joining us will be authors Janet and Jeff Bench as they talk about what inspired them to write about Elizabeth and Jim Elliot. Quinn Hood of the Elizabeth Elliot Foundation will talk about how Elizabeth considered various things, but always from the viewpoint of Scripture. Well, let's begin with a program called How Firm a Foundation. Have you ever thought about the timing of God? And if tragedy strikes, does that spur doubt? Are there any true accidents? Elizabeth will tell us about the story of a family who went through a tragic incident, and yet their faith was still strong. And about a personal story of her time in the jungle, a time of bewilderment and Bible translation. How firm a foundation? Are you standing on a firm foundation, even when everything else in life seems chaotic?
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talks today on a flawless chronology, the wonderful ways in which God takes care of His children and times things which seem to us to be disasters and things which to us seem to be absolutely wonderful timing. It's in the disasters that we are tempted to doubt that there is any order at all in the universe. How can a loving God allow the things that happen to happen? In this book called The Mystery of Providence by John Flavel, he says, "Were these things accidental and contingent? How can it be that they should fall out so immediately upon and consonantly to the prayers of the saints?" Well, that's kind of old English, isn't it? If these things are accidental, if they just happen all by themselves, how is it that they seem so often to happen because of the prayers of God's people? In many providences, we are able to discern a very clear answer to our prayers, and we are sure that we have the petitions we asked for. 1 John 5:15 is a proof of that. And in the Old Testament, you remember when the sea divided itself just at the time of Israel's cry to heaven. The Israelites were being pursued by the Egyptians, and the chariots were approaching with the horses, and the people of Israel were helpless, and they reached the sea. And you remember what happened. God divided the sea in half and enabled the Israelites to walk straight through on dry land. And when the chariots of Egypt arrived with the horsemen, what happened? They pursued Israel into the sea, and God sent the water back down so that they were all drowned. Do you remember a story that took place several years ago? There was a family driving in a van in Chicago, I believe it was, and a piece of metal fell off a truck in front of them. And the car hit the piece of metal, although the father had done his best to avoid it. The car burst into flames, and 6 children died. Their 6 children. The parents were left childless. It seems like a terrible thing, just the worst imaginable disaster. Do you know what the response of that father and mother was? "The Lord knows what He's doing. We're still going to trust Him. I read their lovely testimony. You can think of things which you wish had not happened. We have to trust that God does know exactly what he was doing. And for some reason, he wanted those children in heaven. God takes some of his children early, as a gardener goes into his garden and sometimes plucks the most beautiful rose. That may illustrate the way God picks out the people that he wants to come home to him. And there are many godly people who live to be in their 90s and maybe their hundreds. God leaves them here because God needs them on earth. He knows exactly what he's doing. And when I think of the providences in my own life and in my parents' lives, wonderful things that they have told me about the ways in which God has provided for them, it's very faith-strengthening. One time in the middle of the Great Depression, my mother was cleaning the guest room. We had had a guest that night, and I don't know how they managed to have guests when we were relatively poor, but they always did. They took very seriously the Bible's admonition to be hospitable. And so they had invited this person, and he had left, and Mother went up to clean the guest room, and she was very tired and very worried about money. And she sat down in the rocking chair and picked up the Bible that was on the table. She opened the Bible and found a $50 bill. A $50 bill back in 1932 or whatever it was, sometime around there, was like $500 to her. She never found out who left that $50 bill in that Bible. It could have been any guest for over the years. It had been a long time since she had picked up that Bible. God has amazing ways of taking care of his children. Some of you have heard me tell the story of my first year as a missionary in the jungle. Coincidences? No. Amazing providences. Forms of suffering which brought me great bewilderment. I was trying to reduce an unwritten language to writing. I was working with a tribe in the western jungle of Ecuador called the Colorados, and this was before I was engaged to Jim Elliot. And in order to reduce a language to writing, you need to have somebody that can come and sit there and talk to you in his language. There will be no interpreter, usually. But in this particular case, I had prayed that God would send me an interpreter, or at least send me someone who would be willing to sit hour after hour and speak to me this language, which for him was the easiest language in the world, and for me was the hardest. And God sent me a wonderful man named Macario. He needed work. He was willing to work at my price. He turned out to be a bilingual speaker of Spanish and Colorado, a wonderful extra which I had not even thought of asking God for. I had learned Spanish, of course, since it's the national language of Ecuador. I had to learn that first. And Macario and I began to work happily together for several weeks, maybe 6 weeks or 2 months, I've forgotten exactly. And one morning he was murdered. Murdered in cold blood, broad daylight, with six witnesses. What do you think my first question to God was? Why? Why, Lord, would you allow this to happen? What kind of an answer do you think I got from God? He didn't say why. He didn't explain. He simply said, trust me. During that year, Jim Elliot asked me to marry him. That was the most wonderful thing that could ever happen in my life. And I said yes. But he said, I will not marry you until you learn Quechua. And so I had to move from the western jungle of Ecuador, leaving my linguistic work with two English women. Of course, I had had to continue with the work without the help of Macario. It was much more difficult, much slower, much more laborious. But I had made at least a beginning of the groundwork, which I could give to my two English colleagues who had not had linguistic training. I left all those materials with them, moved to the eastern jungle, began studying the Quechua language. One morning I heard my fiancé's voice coming over the shortwave missionary radio network, and he announced that the entire station on which he had been working during that year had just been washed down the river in a flood. 5 buildings. What was I tempted to say to God? Why? And God says, trust me. And then, a few weeks later, I received a letter from one of my British colleagues from the Western jungle telling me that all of my language material had been stolen. Again, that 3-letter question. The great question is, what is our response to God's providence, the things which God allows to happen, the things which God actually engineers, because certainly no human being had anything to do with the flood. Human beings had a great deal to do with the murder and the robbery. God permitted all of them. And he says to us in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. One of my life verses, Isaiah 41:10. My father gave me that verse when I went away to boarding school and I was lonely and homesick, and I hung on to those words. God's timing is perfect. If it hadn't been for the flood on the station where Jim had been working, who knows when we might have been married. We had waited for each other for 5.5 years. Jim had waited for God's green light to ask me to marry him. He had asked me to marry him some months before the flood, but he said, Bet, I don't think we can get married for 2 or 3 years, maybe even 5 years, unless there is some cataclysmic act of God. The flood was that cataclysmic act of God. We were married very shortly after that, within a few weeks. The last stanza of one of my favorite hymns, How Firm a Foundation, says, the soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Trust him. God's timing is flawless. He loves us. He engineers a universe. And he puts us human beings here in order that we might learn to know him, love him, trust him, praise him.
Part 5 of Flawless Chronology, How Firm a Foundation. Let's take a few moments and hear from Janet and Jeff Bench. They've written books about Jim and Elizabeth Elliot. Jim's book, One Great Purpose, and Elizabeth, Joyful Surrender. So what inspires them when they think about the Elizabeth Elliot story?
Well, for myself, I think I'm inspired by her dogged determination. Once she set her mind to do something, she continued down that path, regardless of, you know, the things that were difficult about it. And also, I think I'm very inspired by her courage as a mother who was in a missionary situation with young children myself. It's, you know, quite a difficult thing to take your children into areas where there's disease and, you know, potential violence and things like that. And that she went in alone, you know, without her husband, into such a potentially dangerous situation after her husband was killed by the Warani. I think it's tremendously inspiring.
Yes, and for me, I think what was inspiring about her story was the fact that, yes, this group of people who had murdered her husband and some other men, she went back to, which for a lot of people, that, and I think that's one of the things that surprises people about this story. This is not what everybody does. and so that she felt like God was calling her back there, and she went. And I think that really was an interesting thing and an inspiring thing of this story. I think the other thing that's inspiring about Elizabeth is that, if you like, she wasn't a one-trick pony. After her time there, she went off and she built a whole other ministry of encouraging and inspiring people and teaching them about the Lord. And so I think that she was a multifaceted person, and I think a very interesting and a very effective person.
Husband and wife authors, originally they're from New Zealand, Janet and Jeff Bench. Later on, we'll think about how Elizabeth liked to look at things, whatever it was, from the viewpoint of Scripture. Right now, though, think about God ordering our lives. Think about those tough subjects like God's plan. How do choices fit in with a holy God who is ruling the universe? Elizabeth tells us about some words from her second husband, Addison Leach, what he had to say about a great conflict of the intellectual world. Here's part six of Flawless Chronology, God Orders Our Lives.
Last week, I read to you from the book of Samuel. There are some amazing so-called coincidences, the things that we would say, humanly speaking, just happen. Well, nothing just happens. God is absolutely, continuously, faultlessly in control of everything that happens. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't give us choices. Now, how can we put these two concepts together? Well, I don't think we can. My second husband, Addison Leach, was a philosopher and a theologian. And he said this is the great conflict in the intellectual world, constantly trying to somehow or other figure out how God can be sovereign and at the same time give us the freedom to choose. God's sovereignty chose to give us the freedom to choose. And God works all things in his own ways, and yet our choices matter. Let's never forget that our choices matter. And I want to refer now to Asa. And a signal victory was given to Asa immediately at the time of his passionate cry to heaven, "Help us, O Lord our God." That's in 2 Chronicles. Then in 2 Samuel, it speaks of Ahithophel, who goes and hangs himself just at the time of the prayer of the distressed David. And Haman falls, and his plot is broken, just at the time of the fast kept by Mordecai and Esther. My husband and I had what we would consider an amazing coincidence. We really don't have another word for it, and yet, looking back, we knew that God had to be in charge of that. In January of 1996, Lars and I took my daughter and her husband and oldest son to Ecuador to visit the Alca Indians and also the station on which Jim Elliott and I had originally worked when we were first married, and the house in which Valerie had grown up for part of her early life. And Valerie was very eager to show the house to her husband and her son. And we were sitting there in the house. There's a large family of Indians that have taken over the house, and they knew we were coming, and they had prepared hard-boiled eggs and steamed manioc for us. So we were sitting there in what used to be our living room, eating the eggs and the manioc, when suddenly up the trail came a young Indian boy, followed by a tall, blonde foreigner. There are no tall, blonde people in Ecuador who are not foreigners. And this was a young man wearing a very fancy and expensive motorcycle suit, bright blue and black. And this young man walked into the house, looked around, walked over to Lars and Walt, my son-in-law, with his hand outstretched, said something to them, and came to me with his hand outstretched. Of course, I shook hands with him. He said, "I know you." He spoke with a European accent. He said, I have read 7 of your books in German. I'm from Switzerland. I have always wanted to visit the house that Jim Elliot built. I've been so deeply influenced by Jim Elliot's testimony in life, and I made up my mind that someday I would go to Ecuador and visit that house. This young man had been in Quito about 5 months. That happened to be the day that he decided to get on his motorcycle and ride 5 hours to the jungle, and he, quote, happened, unquote, to come up the trail as we were sitting in Jim Elliott's house. Now, do you suppose that young man could imagine for a moment that he would meet the widow and the daughter of Jim Elliott? We were not on that station for more than 2 hours, I would say. God's flawless chronology. Isn't it amazing? We are not at the mercy of divine caprice. We are at the mercy of a God who orders things according to his wisdom and his love, not according to his whims. He is our creator, our ruler, the Almighty, our counselor, our comforter, father, friend. He is love, defender, fortress, faithful, forgiving, guard, guide, helper, King of Kings, and my keeper. Lord, my life, my joy, my master, my peace, my quietness, my redeemer, my refuge, my shield, my shepherd, my savior, my strength, my shade, and my unchangeable friend. Those are just some of the names of God that I have garnered from the scriptures. He is my unchangeable friend who loves me and loves you with an everlasting love and holds us every minute in his everlasting arms. Does God scare you? The psalmist said, you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. Jim Elliot, as many of you know, was my first husband, and he was killed along with 4 other American missionaries in 1956 in Ecuador, South America. He almost got killed several times before that, and I've thought of God's providence. Why didn't he allow him to be killed when he was in a car that stalled on a railroad track when the train was coming? He and the other guy were able to leap from the car and watched the demolition of the car. Another time, Jim was driving and the car flipped over in the ditch. He had no injuries. Well, a third time, come to think about it, he was out hunting with a friend, and the friend's gun happened to go off by mistake, and the bullet went through Jim's hair. Amazing, isn't it? Do they just happen? It was not yet God's time for Jim to die. But when God's time came, it seemed awfully early for me. He and I had been married 27 months. But when the time came, God allowed him to be speared in the jungle. Now think, has God spared your life because you have not yet surrendered to him as Savior and Lord? Perhaps. God had some other things that he wanted Jim to do, another way to die. But all of us have to die, don't we? We need to think about that soberly. My dear friend, Catherine Morgan, who is still a missionary in Colombia, South America, and she is, oh, I've lost track, 85 or 87, something like that. But I met Catherine Morgan before I went to Ecuador. She just happened to be home on furlough from Colombia at that time. Jim happened to be in New York City speaking in some churches before he left for Ecuador. He met her. He was impressed with her. He thought, here's a woman of God that Elizabeth ought to meet. And so he arranged for me to meet her. And through her, I was given the privilege of living in a little apartment in Brooklyn, New York, just around the corner from a Spanish man, a Puerto Rican named Luis Montalvo, who just happened to have time to teach me some Spanish before I went to Ecuador. When I went to Ecuador, Doreen, a British missionary who was working in the Western jungle, happened to come to Quito. She found out that this American girl had linguistic training, and she invited me to come and work in the jungle. The man who was helping me with the language, named Macario, happened to be available to be my informant. He happened to get killed very shortly after we had been working together. And then, as I told you last week, a flood happened, which seemed a great catastrophe. The entire station on which Jim Elliot had been working in the eastern jungle was washed down the Amazon. Well, it was a catastrophe in one way. All the buildings that Jim had been working on that year went down the river. But it led to a wonderfully glorious prospect. Because of the flood, that station had to be abandoned, and another station was looked for, and Jim said, "Well, I'm not starting another station by myself. Will you marry me?" And so we were married very shortly after that flood. We had been engaged for about 9 months. The flood happened, and the flood brought us together. My language material of the Colorado language, that which I had worked on in the Western jungle before I married Jim, happened to be on a particular bus on which one of those British women missionaries was traveling, and it happened to get stolen. Then, as we were preparing for what was called Operation Auca, when five missionaries were going to seek to reduce the hostility of a group of Indians called Aucas by dropping gifts to them from an airplane, God timed Nate Saint's flights. Prayers were answered. Plans were meticulously made. The weather happened to be right. The part that they needed for the plane happened to arrive. And you know that I'm using the word happened tongue-in-cheek. What I'm talking about is God's chronology, the wonderful, mysterious ways in which God orders our lives. Why do I spend so much time on this? Because I want to encourage you to trust Him. Every experience, if given to Jesus, can be your gateway to joy.
That was called God Orders Our Lives, Flawless Chronology, Part 6 of a 10-part series. Quinn Hood of the Elizabeth Elliot Foundation will talk about how Elizabeth considered various things, but always from the viewpoint of Scripture.
I think she was a lot more open-minded than we're used to, like, Bible teachers being today. I think she really considered various topics, and she really held them under the lens of God's Word. And so some things, like I'm thinking particularly about her book, Furnace of the Lord, which she wrote about the conflict in the Middle East, I was really surprised at some of her conclusions there. It was just neat to see, like, she's open-minded, and her mind is swayed not by, you know, conservative evangelical culture, but her mind is swayed by Scripture, you know, and directed totally by Scripture. And so I think people might see, reading some of her books, she was open-minded. She was open-minded about who she read. You know, she read vastly and by lots of different authors. You know, some of us might think, like, oh, I don't know, you shouldn't read that author or whatever. You know, we might say that to each other today, but she was so widely read, she would consider various viewpoints, you know, and I think going back to, she just had such confidence in God's Word that she didn't feel threatened to consider other viewpoints. You know, she would read it and just hold it up to God's Word and glean from it what she could. And so, yeah, I think she was open-minded.
Quinn Hood of the Elizabeth Elliot Foundation. As our time together comes to an end, thanks for letting us come into your home, into your office, maybe along with you as you drove across town, wherever we found you. And on behalf of the Elizabeth Elliot Foundation, in cooperation with the Bible Broadcasting Network, let me invite you to check out the elizabethelliot.org website for more talks, devotionals, Gateway to Joy programs, and more. elizabethelliot.org. And if you get a chance, leave a review for us wherever you found this program. Thanks. Until next time, may God remind you each and every day, you are loved with an everlasting love, and underneath are the everlasting arms of God.